Innovative Credit Solutions is a company that was founded in 2006. It was founded by myself. Prior to that, I was a debt collector. So, you know, my experience in the debt collection industry really allows me to bring that element into the credit repair world. A lot of the times when consumers realize that their credit may be damaged, there's probably going to be a collection on there, or a lot of collections, right? So that experience that we have in the debt collection industry is really what I think sets us apart from anybody that we may have that could potentially be a competitor. That experience is really what has allowed us to help consumers in Kern County since 2006. And since 2006, I mean, it's 2018. It's incredible for me to think that we've been in business for 12 years, but time has gone by. And, you know, since that time, we've helped about 1,000 people a year. That's the kind of business that we're doing right now. And really, I would say the majority of our practice is based out of Kern County. But we do help clients all over the United States. So that's a little bit about us. So there you go. All right, now let's get to the good stuff. I think if you guys want to become, the term that we use is mortgage ready, raise your hand if you're here because you're interested in learning a little bit more about credit and credit scoring. Great, we got a few hands up. Thank you very much. So the very first thing when it comes to becoming mortgage ready is just simply understanding where you stand, right? A lot of people that I talk to are unaware or unsure where they stand. If I say, when was the last time that you looked at your credit report? They look at me and say, I don't even want to look at it. It's been a little while, right? And so really step number one is to know where you stand. Understanding where you stand is very important because we need to know who you owe money to. You guys would be surprised. A lot of the times consumers are literally, I mean, I want to use the word afraid of seeing who's on there. They have an idea, I think I owe money to this person, or I have this big account there. And when we look at the credit report, that account is not even a problem anymore. That account is probably older than 7 years. We don't see it on the credit report. And potentially we have new problems or problems that we're not aware of that are now a problem on the credit report. So it's really important to know where you stand. And we start by looking at your credit report. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you guys have Credit Karma? How many of you guys have heard of Credit Karma? Credit Karma is a pretty good website or a pretty good application to just kind of look at what's out there. It just gives you a little teaser, right? But it's very incomplete. One of the more complete credit reports that I personally like to review is one that you can get for free at annualcreditreport.com. So if you have not seen your credit report, or if you've seen the Credit Karma report but haven't seen a full report, annualcreditreport.com is actually a federal website that was mandated by the government that forced the three credit bureaus to give away credit reports for free. And this happened in 2004. Back then, credit reports were not free. I mean, free credit reports are pretty much the standard now in 2018. But in 2004, it literally had to take a few laws and a few acts of Congress to force the credit bureaus to give away the free credit reports. And that's where this website was born. And so this website gives away to everybody one free credit report a year per bureau. And for me, as a credit consultant, it's the most complete picture that I can possibly get on your credit report. The credit reports that you would get at a mortgage lender's office, say if Alan pulls it, is a pretty detailed report, but it's still missing very key elements that we need to be able to see to match certain things as far as age goes onto the account. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But if I was to give you guys a great resource today, it would be annualcreditreport.com. It's completely free. It's not going to ask you for a credit card or anything like that. I would highly recommend it. One of the big misconceptions about credit scoring in general is just the fact that your credit score is different everywhere you go. Especially for the consumers that utilize Credit Karma, they're going to believe that their credit score is whatever it says on Credit Karma, but then they go somewhere else and it's different. And that happens very, very often. You go to the car dealership and you want to buy a car and you believe and you're confident in your score because you have it in your app on Credit Karma, but then the car dealership runs credit and it's a different score. Or it could happen at the mortgage lender's office. They run credit and it's a different score. The reason for that is this here. There's actually several different versions of the credit scoring model. There's quite a bit actually, but in a nutshell, they have a particular bank card score, they have a mortgage score, an installment loan score, an auto loan score, and a personal finance score. This is all credit consultant jargon. What that really means is that your credit score is never gonna be the same wherever you go. So don't get hung up on the score. If you have a good credit score, it'll be a good credit score regardless of whatever model they're using. If you know that your credit score is good, you can have confidence going anywhere. You don't have to worry about what generation of FICO they're using, right? That's not a normal consumer behavior. But that's really the explanation why your score is never going to be the same. I mean, it really is not going to ever be the same. It's always going to be a little different. If it's a great credit score, it's still going to fluctuate. It might be 780 here, it might be 790 here, but it's still, you know, I think the point to drive home is that it's not going to be the same. Okay. Any questions about that at all? Feel free to interrupt me at any time, okay? Because I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can. Okay, so making a plan to get your credit report mortgage ready. We've already identified that the first step that you have to do is just simply look at it. But now that you looked at it, now what do you do? Well, we got to make some notes and we got to take some action. The very first thing that I look at as a credit consultant is I want to know when was the last time that you either had a late payment or a new collection pop up. And that's very important because when you're in a credit rebuilding phase, we want to build as much timely payments in a row as possible. So if the last time you paid late was 3 months ago, then that's the time that we're starting. And we want to go 12 months in a row with no lates. And here's the biggest mistake that consumers make when trying to improve their credit score, is they're making their payments on time, right? 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, okay? And when we get to month 7, something happens and they pay late. And guess what happens? Their 12 months starts over. And that's a really big problem if you're trying to improve your score, because you're going up, 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 and then something happens, you pay late, and you start over. So let's just say, for example, right now, you're scheduled to hit your 12th consecutive month in a row in September, right? You're on your 10th month right now, and then you pay late. It's not September anymore. Now it's August of next year when your 12th month would technically get here. So it could really set you back. It's a really big problem, and consumers make that mistake all the time. When I see it, they say, my score, I've been working at it, been paying things down, and I just can't catch a break. My score has not moved. Well, technically, it's because we see either new lates or new collections showing up on the credit report. So that would be the first thing, is identify when your last late was, identify when your last collection was posted on the report, and make a plan to keep it clean until the following 12th month or 12 months in a row. Yes. Yes, they do. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but absolutely. So when talking about medical bills will report on the credit report as collections, okay? This here, bad debt. We would want to make a plan that at the end of those 12 months, you have eliminated your debt. And really, particularly, I'm talking about credit card debt and collection debt, okay? That's very important. Obviously, it's probably not feasible if you have a car loan to pay it off within the 12 months. That's not something that would be necessary or something that would really be worth the money. You know, it's just because you paid off your car loan doesn't mean your credit score shoots up. So strategically, to get your credit score mortgage ready, we want to deal with credit card debt. That's the other big problem that we have on credit reports, is consumers, if you're carrying credit card debt, you're leaving points on the table. If I take a look at a credit report and you have a 630 credit score, chances are what's in the way is credit card debt. So if I look at that same credit report and all the credit card debt is paid off, the 630 can very likely be like 700, 710. You know, credit card debt can be a very big driver for credit scores. Now, so here's another one that I always run into is, well, they told me that I should keep a balance on my credit report or on my credit card so I can build a good payment history. How many of you guys have heard of that? Now, when you hear that, they say keep it at 50%, keep it at 30%. When it comes to becoming mortgage ready and you want to max out your score, meaning that you want to have all the points that you can possibly get given your consumer credit profile, zero credit card debt is the best way to go. Okay, not 30%, not 40%, zero. So maybe you have a little bit of credit card debt now, but in the plan that we're making, when the 12 months in a row gets here, right, 12 clean months in a row, we want to make sure you have no credit card debt if possible, but the lower, the better. Because you're just leaving points on the table if you're carrying credit card debt. Follow me? We're good? Okay. Now, collections. Collections are something that we strategically deal with. It's an interesting... We got to be very careful how we deal with collections and very strategic with who we deal with. So we do hear quite often, my lender told me not to deal with medical bills, or my lender said medical bills don't count. And that's a really... misleading statement, and I'm going to try to clear it up right now. If you have the credit score necessary to buy a house, which would be what, Alan? Credit score necessary to buy a house?
Starting at 620 is ideal.
Okay. If you have a 620, you can likely, okay, if you have a 620 and you have a medical debt on your credit report, you can probably get by without dealing with the medical debt. And that's where it comes from. But if you don't have a 620 and you need to get a 620, the medical debt is probably going to be the best way to get there. So we have to deal with it. Does that make sense? So we run into this problem a lot where I'm like, we got to deal with this medical debt. And the consumer's like, no, the lender said not to. And I'm like, it's the easiest way to get you points right now. You see what I'm saying? So with your question of, do we deal with medical debts? Probably most of the time, yes. You know, if it's a $5,000 medical debt, if we can ignore it, we will. If it's a $200 medical debt, it's the easiest 30 points you'll ever get. Does that make sense to you guys? Very good. So really, that's kind of how we deal with it. So we're making a plan. We're checking our credit report. We're checking when the last time we were late, and we're making sure that we don't pay late anymore. And then we're going to see who we owe money to. Here's my favorite part. When I look at a credit report for collections, we want to make sure that we understand when they go away. Have you guys heard of the rule of 7 years? What have you guys heard? What have you heard? Okay. From the date that you last paid. I like that. That's exactly what it is. So you got to understand the 7 year rule starts at a certain point in time and it ends at a certain point in time. And there's a lot of myths out there that say if you do this or that or this or that, you can reset the 7 years. You can't. Nothing you do will reset the 7 years. So it's extremely important that when you look at your credit report, you find out when that date of last payment is so you can calculate when the seventh year gets here. This is particularly important because if you have, it doesn't have to be a 12-month plan, guys. If your last late payment was 6 months ago, your plan is 6 months from now, right? Because that would complete your 12th month. So if in the next 6 months, one of your collections happens to hit the 7 years, it's probably a good idea to ignore it since it's going to go away on its own and you don't have to pay for it or deal with it in any way because it's already going to hit the seventh year on your way to being mortgage ready. And if that just happens to be in 6 months or 8 months or 10 months, you need to be very clear that you don't spend money on something that's technically going to go away on its own without you having to deal with it. That's the biggest thing that we like to do for consumers is say, hey, well, you had this repossession that you've been ignoring for the last 6.5 years. Keep it up for 6 more months and, you know, it paid off. You don't have to deal with it on your way to becoming mortgage ready. And that's very powerful because we can potentially eliminate dealing with really big bills by ignoring them completely. And it's very rare that you get to get rid of a problem by ignoring it. But in the credit repair world, if you ignore it for 7 years, you'll probably get away with it, right? But imagine I run into consumers all the time that end up paying a debt that's 8 years old when in reality they shouldn't have. It's not even on the report anymore. And that's a very important distinction. Debt doesn't disappear, like it doesn't, you don't technically not owe it. They just technically can't report it, and therefore nobody knows about it. But they're gonna continue trying. They can try, they can send you letters, they can call you, but they can't report it, so there's no point. In fact, they very rarely do, because it actually costs them, you know, literally costs them 50 cents to send you a letter, probably more. And when they get a batch of it, like they buy accounts in batches. So if I buy a batch of 1,000 accounts, if I got to send all of them a letter, that's a lot of money for me to send everyone a letter. So debt collectors think twice about who they send letters to. So they very rarely try to collect money on out of stat accounts, is what we would call it. So now that you guys are doing that, you know, you're making this plan to get mortgage ready. You got 12 clean months. You've making a plan to pay down your credit card debt. If you don't have credit card debt, or if you don't have any credit, part of the plan is to build credit, open up some accounts. And that's this part here, 3 to 5 open accounts in good standing. So if you have no credit, how many of you have ever been there or are there now or know somebody that has no credit? Part of becoming mortgage ready and part of those 12 clean months is to make sure you have 3 to 5 open active accounts and in good standing. And one of my favorite accounts to get are secured cards and secured loans. Have you guys heard of those products? Those are very awesome credit building products. A lot of the times people run into the problem like, I don't have any credit, so I can't get credit, or I have bad credit, so I can't get credit to build credit, and you're in this catch-22. Secured products are the way to go. Most credit unions are gonna have a secured loan and a secured credit card, and all they really are is a collateral product. You put money in the savings account, they put a hold on it, and they give you a credit card or a loan in the amount of the money in your savings account. So write that down. Secured loan, secured credit card, available at pretty much any credit union here in town. Okay? So that about concludes my quick spiel. I do want to go over about something here really quick. I said that you can't do anything to reset the 7 years. I said that, right? So no matter what you do, you can't reset that 7 year credit reporting statute. But there's a different statute that really is for any debt that apply, well, any debt period, but it becomes significant in debts that are over $1,000. And that's the statute for the debt collector to sue you in the state of California. That's 4 years, and that can be renewed if you make a payment. So if the debt could be 8 years old, they can't credit report it, but if you make a $10 payment, the 4 year statute renews, and then they can sue you, then they can get a judgment, then they can garnish your wages and levy your bank account, and then bad things really happen. That happens all the time. I've dealt with three of them this week where the consumer either got served with a wage garnishment or got all the money taken out of their bank account for a judgment from a credit card or for a judgment for a car repossession, right? So it's very important to understand that when dealing with any of these accounts, especially if the account's over like $1,500, those bigger accounts tend to be, you know, filed on or lawsuits filed on more often than not. So we do want to understand the way that that works. And sometimes if you are paying off collections, it can cause the score to drop. That's like a credit repair insider deal where it is possible if you pay off an old collection, they can actually drop your score. So you want to be careful how you manage that. And it is a good rule of thumb before realizing or making a list of the collections that you're going to pay, that you just let us take a look at it. I can just look at it and tell you that's a good idea, that's not a good idea, that's a good idea, that's not a good idea when it comes to dealing with your collections. That's something, guys, I've been doing this for 12 years. So if I see a debt collector on the report, I can guarantee you I've dealt with them before, especially consumers here in Kern County, because every institution here locally uses the same collection agencies in the area. So if I've dealt with them before, I can share 12 years of experience in dealing with that agency so that you don't have to go at it, you know, blindly, if you will.
So, just before coming tonight, I sent a client's comparative two reports, one that was pulled in April of this year and one that was pulled today. They were very marginal. They're right on the cusp. He had a 632 FICO score. Because the report has to be within 90 days of closing, 3 months had already almost eclipsed. Remember, you know, from April 24th to now, that's only a week, right? Well, we're forced to pull a new credit report because we need to have the most recent data to the time of closing. The score dropped from 632 to 598. So now they've been looking for a house literally for the last 3 months, finally got into contract, and the score dropped. Now they're ineligible. Here's what we talked about, and this is why I love the insight of what Anselmo said. He said, there's a medical collection here from this particular collection company. It's only like $131. Can they pay that? And I said, I'm thinking so. Will it help us to get some points? He says, if we can get it deleted, there's a strong chance it'll get us to the point where they can qualify again, right? But here's what he went on to say. He says, have them, when you ask them, confirm that it's physician's automated lab that does blood draws. That was the collection. It doesn't say it on the credit report, but sometimes when they go to collections, their specific medical practices that use specific collection companies. If you don't have that kind of experience, you're kind of digging in a haystack. You don't know where to go. But Anselmo's experience tells him he knows exactly where it's at, and he knows how to negotiate a deletion if he does it correctly. So there's a strong chance that we're going to bring this borrower back into the fold so they can close on their house. But you can imagine the shock when we pulled that credit and it dropped from 632 and fell out of qualification at a 598. So very important that you guys pay very close attention to these things and that you have good quality professionals working with you on
that. I'm glad you brought that up because I completely would have missed out on this very important point. So all that is just I saw the report and I knew that collection agency collected for Powell. So credit reports mask out. On retail reports, they'll mask out who the medical provider is because of HIPAA laws. So most credit reports will say ABC debt collector collecting for Verizon. So we know it's a Verizon debt. But on a medical debt, when a third party pulls credit, medical accounts just say medical. They don't say physician's auto lab, right? So that's why I just wanted to say, hey, I'm pretty sure that's a PAL bill. Just let them know that I'm asking them to pay the PAL bill. And so when dealing with that collection, yes. If you pull your own credit report, it should tell you it's a PAL bill, right? So it should tell you that it's a PAL bill. But when, so this is the plan to deal with that bill. There's two ways, there's three ways to eliminate debt or get rid of a collection. One, we just wait till the seventh year. We just learned that, right? So the seventh year for them is going to be way too long from now, not viable. Take that off the table. The second way is literally to pay the bill, right? And that, all that does is it pays the bill and it gets updated on the report as a paid collection. And that's not bad. I mean, that will get them some points. But if we can negotiate that if they delete the reporting, like it never happened, next time Alan pulls the report, that account disappears. Nobody knows it ever existed. That's the power. That's where you're going to get the points. And that's where spending $130 to get rid of that makes a lot of sense, because they're going to net like 30 points.
But does the deletion have to be within the first 90 days of collection?
No, the deletion can happen at any point in time before, while it's reportable, right? So it could be a five-year-old account. It's still, you can have it deleted. Yeah, well, it's a negotiation. So they don't have to delete anything. That's the other caveat, is that technically the debt collector is not, there's nothing technically that would force them to delete it. It's all part of the deal. And it actually becomes difficult to negotiate a $100 account because there's not much money there. There's no leverage. And it would be super easy to get that done if it was $1,500. If I'm offering them $1,500, they're going to delete it, no problem. If I'm offering them $100, you know what I'm saying? So it's actually difficult to do the little ones as opposed to the big ones. But the power is in the deletion. Wherever you can get a deletion, you get it. And sometimes you can't, and you got to live with it. Did you have a question? Okay, very good. Yeah, but technically there is nothing that would force them to delete it. We got a couple tricks that, you know, I learned while I was on the other side that I kind of know when I can make them delete it, but it's very case by case. But that's why we're very successful at it, though, is simply because I just kind of know what buttons to push to make them want to delete it. Yeah. So, yes?
If one has like a 640 and he has a... Is he, he has a 640, but he has a late payment like 4 months ago, is he mortgage ready?
Probably, if it's a one late payment. Yeah, I would say so. Alan, what do you think?
Okay, so we'll go through this in my part of the presentation, but a bank is looking at patterns. If they see that's an isolated event, a one-time deal, and the rest of the credit is pretty solid, the bank will probably give you a buy with a strong letter of explanation. So I've had a situation, and actually Marvin referred this family. They're missionaries, and they were overseas in the Philippines. And they could not make a payment internationally because they blocked it when they were trying to do it over the internet. So they actually had a late payment record, and they fought it tooth and nail. But here's the truth of it. If the payment is greater than 30 days late, and it's received by that company, they're not inaccurately reporting. They did not receive payment in time. So justifying validation of an actual event, that's all that creditor is responsible for. Okay, so in that situation, if it's an isolated event, typically the lender will give you a buy as long as they see a pretty solid payment history before. Because understand, banks want to lend the money, but they want to lend it to responsible borrowers. And the mortgage is typically going to be one of the bigger debts that you're going to carry out.
And the credit score will reflect a one-time late. I mean, you won't have an 800 credit score. But if you have a one-time late in the last 12 months and the rest of the credit history is perfect, your score will be fine. It won't be 800, but you'll be mortgage ready. So good question. And late payments can be a very big problem if we have a 30, 60, 90 day late in the last 12 months, that's like a non-deal. Your score will reflect it. It's not us making the decision. It's not the bank saying, oh, you paid late three times. It's simply if you have three late payments in the last 12 months, your score will reflect it and you won't be mortgage ready. That's all. Most people, if you just wait it out and then the late payments are now 2 years old, your score will have rebounded by then. So that's kind of the way that works. So guys, I'm going to be respectful of your time and my colleague's time. Just remember this is the secret formula. If you give me 12 clean months, You get rid of all your collections, whether even if they're medical, and you have 3 to 5 open active accounts in good standing. You guys are in the game. Okay?
The difference if it's just hearsay or credible experience. That's what you brought to the table.
Oh, yes. No, trust me. I wouldn't just invite anybody, John. I'll be honest with you. So that's something that what you'll find about the way that I do business and how we like to transact is number one, it's about trust. We're dealing with, again, the most personal financial data that you have, and we really want to make sure that there's some pull through. So at this time, I'm very proud and very thankful that Marvin Bush and Diana Aronson from the Bush team, Premier Realty, are here to speak about the whole home buying process.
Is it recording?
Not yet. So I want to go ahead and